welcome everybody to the Success Radio Network. This here is the Wednesday night Bible study with Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang here, and we're going to get started here. Just give me 1 second.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at Success Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424.
Battery powered, battery charge remaining, 19 hours.
2-4-3-9-6-1-7. Again, 424-2-4-3-9-6-1-7. Press the number 1, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Success Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at HolinessBiblesForTheBlind.org. That is HOLINESS Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, TheBlind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And in Lord Jesus, for the team of the Success Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Success Gospel Bus here on the Success Radio Network, here on the Wednesday night Bible study, brought to you again, once more, by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number 1, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Success coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Success coach. However, If you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, as we pull out of the old station with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, who do we got on the old Six Eyes Gospel Bus tonight?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and just little old me.
All right. Well, Sister Emily, what do you got for in the way of prayer requests tonight? All right, Emily, get your coffee.
Got her hand up and the mic is on, so I hope she can...
Try hitting refresh again and try pressing her mic again, Ruth.
All right.
Okay, while you're doing that, we'll take your request, and then maybe we'll be able to get her up and running.
Well, I'm just praying for a lot of lost souls and concerned about Reverend Quick and his wife. Emily hasn't been feeling too well today. The heat was kind of bothered or something. And me, I just got the knees and my back are bothering me. I don't know what I did with that strenuous. I really didn't do that much strenuous work today, so I don't know. Just weird. But I'm going to be going into therapy, so that'll come blessing pretty soon. So I always love being in the water at the Y. So, and of course, pray for you, sweetheart. And, you know, you have a coffin, but you'll be okay.
Yeah, well, if your knees are hurting, you definitely won't be dancing in the Holy Ghost tonight.
I'll probably be sitting.
Okay, you got Emily up.
Well, the thing is just coming up now. It's still on the F5, and it takes time for it to get back up on the board again.
Okay, well, while we're waiting on that, of course, mine is for first responders, our military, our political leaders in every country, that they all start to get right with God so that this will be a better world, our world in general, my friends, your friends, my fans, your fans, Six Eyes Radio Network team, and every name thereby that are represented. And, of course, Six, as he's had a couple people pass away. So we want to keep that family in prayer, the Six Eyes family in prayer. And, of course, Emily and her mom. All those in nursing homes, hospitals, those that work there, and the residents there. And our police forces, first responders, yeah, and lost souls in general. Okay, do we got her yet?
Hello, Kenny.
There she is. All right.
We got a problem, honey. It went completely out, so I'm going to have to start all over from the beginning. It went back to that original screen. Not even the board isn't even up no more.
Okay, well, I'll come in and help you with that while she's giving us her prayer request.
All right.
Go ahead, Emily.
Well, you basically covered it or as Six would say for mankind.
Okay. Well, with that, Ruth, we're going to let you give us a prayer, and then we'll just go ahead and get into the program tonight.
Kenny.
And then we'll get your board back up.
Hey, Ken.
Uh-huh.
Also be keeping me in prayer on my way back from helping you and Sister Ruth today on the way back to my building. I know he's dying.
Ah. Okay. Well, Ruth, you want to take it?
Sure. All right. We love and praise your name, Lord, tonight. And be with Emily and help her feel better. Be with Lila. She's got some things going on, too. And be with all the lost souls in the world. And Pastor Quick, his wife, Tim asked for prayer, too, for some situation. He's got a new job, but it's causing him more headache than he wants it for. So just pray for him there. And just, Lord, just be with him. You got mail, sweetheart. And we just want to praise your name and help this board to start acting right. And we just want to love you, Lord. Amen.
All right. Well, tonight we not only got some good music that we can boogie with and do a hoedown, then we got a message from our archives of the Holiness Bibles for the Blind. All you got to do, go to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, click sermons, then click Fearless Teachings. Once you do that, click on God and Country, God and Country, and you'll get all the details there, and you could get your own copy of the free download right there. And, of course, we always would appreciate a donation, but it's not required to get your download. You can get a free download right there of God and Country, of the message you'll hear today. And then, of course, Emily, does she keep the pedal to the metal tonight? As she will be trying for 16 of 19 today, does she make it or does she make it only 15 for 19? Which way will it go tonight? Does she keep the pedal to the metal or does she slam on the brakes tonight? We'll find out as she takes on the song and poem again. And then, of course, we have Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Where will you be taking us tonight, Ruth?
It's just coming back. Here, hold it. There it is. The whole armor of God.
Okay.
And the board is back up. I just hit studio, and it's back up.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. And so, see how God worked it? You got it yourself. All right. So, God and Country. What did you say it is?
The whole armor of God.
Whole armor of God. I was thinking of my message. Okay, the whole armor of God. So you'll want to check that out in Bible prophecy. And then, of course, at the end, you'll be able to give your comments or questions on any of the messages. And, of course, your prayer request and open mic at the end. So here we go. Let's get into the broadcast tonight.
Amen.
This old-time religion is just a thing of the past. But in this modern age that we're living, it's the only thing that will last. Now you may think that I'm a little old-fashioned, well, friend, that's all right with me. 'Cause I'm so glad that I am a Christian, and from sin I've been set free. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Not long ago, at an old-fashioned meeting, I knelt on my knees there in prayer. He lifted my burdens and shackles. shackles fell from me. His presence was so real everywhere. Now that the load that I carry is lighter and he's changed the gray skies to blue. My steps are now higher, for I have this assurance, his sweet love will carry me through. I know, there's no doubt about it, he's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Come go with me to that land over yonder, he's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going, brother, how about you? Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, he'll return in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, getting my things together. Who knows? He might come tonight. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Heaven.
I must tell Jesus
all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
I can almost hear their voice. years have come, and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now a time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross, and one by one let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life.
I remember
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and on Wednesday. It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song.
Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid.
Do you notice it says here that we are the light of the world? A city or light that is set on a hilltop. When you put that light on a hilltop, you cannot hide it. Just like if you take a, dear listener, you take a flashlight. Take a flashlight or a lantern. Put it on a shelf top. Turn it on. And tell me if it's hard to find in the middle of the night. I know your answer. No. Because it's not hid. But if you put it under your bed that has a long mattress ruffle, whatever they call that. I'm not into sewing and bed ruffles and all that thing, but dust ruffle, okay. Thank you, Emily. Dust ruffle. Yeah, the big long dust ruffle over it. Have it underneath there. And you got it lit. Of course it's going to be hit. So that's what God is talking about. So, ye are the light of the world. A city that's on a hilltop cannot be hit. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Matthew chapter 5. And verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in him confiding, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I
shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. While traveling through this world of sorrow, I am on my way to glory land. I'll not turn back for some tomorrow. My trials here I'll understand. I want to know more about my Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I want to know more.
I want to know more about my Lord, my blessed Lord.
I want to know more.
I want to know more about that mansion, heavenly mansion.
I'm going to receive.
I'm going to receive as
my reward.
I want
to know more.
When his soul ascended,
I'm coming back,
the Lord did say.
Upon his
promise you depended,
on wings of love you'll soar away.
I want to know more
about my Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I want to know more.
I want to know more about my Lord, my blessed Lord.
I want to know more.
I want to stroll over heaven.
long to see here below. But time and treasures have kept us making plans, as you know. But come the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew. While I stroll over heaven with you, I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll.
I will cling to the cross, that old rugged cross. It was there that my soul was set free. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I will cling to that old rugged cross. I will cling to the old rugged cross. It was there that he suffered and died. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I'll cling. I will cling to the old rugged cross. I have found new life today. My sins are washed away. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' blood has made a way to the land of fairest day, and I will cling to the old rugged cross. I will cling to the old rugged cross. It was there that he suffered and died. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I'll cling. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Nothing in my hand I'll bring, simply to the cross I'll cling. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you when your trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm toe-to-toe and eye to eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. The apostle's message still applies today. For there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary, so his word I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise.
Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HolinessBibles FortheBlind.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula,
Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is that time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you from the city of Jerusalem, the land of Israel, with the Hebrew Word of the Week. And the word for this week is lamb. And the Hebrew word for lamb is kiddush. Kiddush. K-E-V-E-S. Kiddush. And the verse that I would read is Exodus chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And also, verse 11 of Exodus 12, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Hebrew word for Passover, Pesach. Again, this is another reason why Jesus, in the context of the Last Supper, as the Messiah of Israel, said he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. It wasn't because he was telling them to literally eat his flesh, literally drink his blood. Why, literally eating flesh, literally drinking human blood in that context, was condemned under the law of Moses. And he could not destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus told them, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, because he was conveying to them that that lamb there in Exodus 12 was a picture of him as the Lamb, capital L, Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Till next time, this has been Brother Timothy Gruber with the Hebrew Word of the Week. Shalom.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Yeah. Father, be faithful to his dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Yes, I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the queen of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than
compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they've been? Would you turn the radio off and hope he hadn't heard? And wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? And would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? And would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? And would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or maybe, would you change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends? And would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? Oh, it might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you.
If that isn't love. He has something to say.
Call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here,
I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Country.
Now, I know that in our land today, there are those who are uncomfortable. In fact, there are those who positively detest the idea of any connection between God and country. There are those who would like to efface the words "In God We Trust" as our national motto. There are those who would like to remove them from our coins. There are those who would like to remove every vestige of God and Christianity from our public life. And yet, all of those indeed are aliens to the spirit which gave birth to this country. Our nation was born in the hearts of men and women who loved God, who trusted in Jesus Christ as the divine Redeemer and Savior of the world, and who came here for His glory, and established a nation that was intended to advance the Christian faith and glorify God. That is what is sometimes called the American Covenant. Now, the initial form of that covenant is what we know as the Mayflower Compact. You will recall that those 100 or so pilgrims had left England for Holland in order to escape religious persecution after 12 years in Holland, where they found toleration but not complete freedom. They finally decided at last to sail for the New World, that they might freely worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. And they landed at Cape Cod, but before setting foot upon the rocky coasts of New England, they gathered together in the cabin of the Mayflower and drew up the Mayflower Compact, that document which has come to be known as the birth certificate of America, but which is in fact the American Covenant, the covenant between the founders of this country and God. You remember well the words, "In the name of God, amen," it begins. It goes on to say, "Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia." I want you to note well that they begin it in the name of God, and they say that they have undertaken to plant a colony in Virginia for two purposes: the purpose of the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Now, these were the dual aspects of this covenant, and the twin reasons why they came to these shores and why America was established. I hope that you will remember that well. They came for the glory of God, and they came for the advancement of the Christian faith. This is repeated over and over again in official documents that we have related to you at a previous occasion, which I will not repeat today. Today I would like, however, to let you hear some of the personal feelings of many of those who were involved with the founding of this country, to see that not only was this true of the official documents of the time, but it was also the personal expressions of faith and commitment of many of those who founded this country. They came for the advancement of the Christian faith. Did they really mean that? Well, listen to the first American historian. That, of course, was William Bradford, who was governor of the Plymouth Colony and who wrote the first history on American soil, a Plymouth plantation. And he says that they came here and founded this colony with, quote, "a great hope and inward zeal that they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto, for the propagating and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ to these remote parts of the world. Yea, those they should be but even as stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work." That they desired not only to advance the Christian faith among themselves and among those with whom they came in contact, but that through them they might be stepping stones for the furtherance of the gospel to even more remote parts of the earth. And we know, of course, that that wish has been fulfilled, that America has become the greatest missionary force in the history of the world. From here, the gospel has gone out not only to Japan and Korea and China and the South Seas, but to every part of the world. And it was part of the original covenant that they had with an inward zeal of advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So this was their purpose in founding this land. It was a Christian land that they founded. Now today, there are those who gnash their teeth at the very mention of the fact that this was founded as a Christian nation. But my friends, the facts of history are not easily dismissed, though they are certainly widely ignored in our schools, in many of our modern revisionist history books, in many of our classrooms. The Christian origins of America are totally ignored. And yet, for those who will take the time to read, you cannot miss the plain facts that the principles and institutions, the foundations of the life of this country, were indeed in every way biblical and Christian in their nature. We should point out that this was a Christian nation and not a Christian state, that it was not a state which was run by a church, but it was a Christian nation. And you will recall that in 1892, the Supreme Court, when they examined a mass of all of the early documents pertaining to the foundation of this country, concluded that all of these added an abundance of testimony to the fact that this is a religious people, this is a Christian nation. Now, that was the declaration of the Supreme Court in the Trinity decision of 1892, and it has been reaffirmed on several other occasions since that time. Now, for those moderns who would say that America has nothing to do with Christianity and that our Constitution and Declaration are not Christian, they obviously know nothing about the principles of Christianity which completely underlay all of the various facets of the foundations of this country. The highest glory, said John Quincy Adams, of the American Revolution was that in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity were forever united. This was the very essence of the founding of this country, and all of its laws were derived from the teachings of the Christian faith, as indeed all law is simply the codification of some religious viewpoint or another. Of course, in our day, that has shifted more and more, and that the foundations of the scripture as the foundation for law has been replaced by the principles of the religion of secular humanism, which is becoming more and more the foundation for our laws today. But it was not so in the beginning. And today, the First Amendment is frequently used to try to separate any religious influence from government, to try to close off religion into the churches or the prayer closets, that it would not be able to express its voice or its principles in the public arena. And we hear today that this is a pluralistic nation and that it is not a Christian nation. If not secularist, then at least pluralist. Well, if you go back to the great jurist Joseph Story, who was a member of the Supreme Court and wrote a massive commentary on the Constitution of the United States in 1828, he says this concerning the First Amendment. He said, "An attempt to level all religions, that is to make Christianity simply one of many religions, and to make it a matter of state policy to hold all religions in utter indifference, would have created universal disapprobation, if not universal indignation." He went on to explain that the purpose of the First Amendment was simply this: to prevent any national ecclesiastical establishment which should give to a hierarchy the exclusive patronage of the national government. It was simply to prevent any one of the various Christian denominations from getting an exclusive patronage from the government. But Christianity itself, general Christianity, was conceived as the support of all of our government. In fact, George Washington said, true religion offers the government its surest support. Today, we have people that look upon religion as indeed a danger or a threat to government. That was not the attitude of the first president of this country or of the early founders of America. And even Samuel Adams, who was that great firebrand who is sometimes said to be the principal agent behind the American Revolution, says, "Let divines and philosophers, statesmen and patriots unite their endeavors to renovate the age by impressing the minds of men with the importance of educating their little boys and girls, of inculcating in the minds of youth the fear and love of deity. In short, of leading them in the study and practice of the exalted virtues of our Christian system." How differently speak many of our modern secularists in the media today. And you would suppose that the Christian system had no virtues to it at all. In fact, we hear nothing today from them except of the vices and harm that Christianity must do to America. And yet, this has not been the attitude of those great men and women who were responsible for this country. Perhaps there have been few more eloquent statesmen than the great Daniel Webster, this man who rose above all of his peers, who was such a mountain of patriotism and virtue. And this man finally said, rather on the anniversary of the landing at Plymouth, he said, "Finally, let us not forget the religious character of our origin." Words that may well indeed be re-echoed to our time. Our fathers were brought hither by their high veneration up for the Christian religion. They journeyed in its light and labored in its hope. They sought to incorporate its principles with the elements of their society and to diffuse its influence through all their institutions, civil, political, or literary. Let us cherish these sentiments and extend their influence still more widely in the full conviction that that is the happiest society which partakes in the highest degree of the mild and peaceful spirit of Christianity. Thus, Daniel Webster, that society is the happiest which partakes to the highest degree of the spirit of Christianity. And yet, in our time, there are continued echoes that would say that it is the spirit of Christianity that is going to destroy the happiness of America. Well, the spirit of Christianity may indeed be opposed to the happiness of those who live licentious and wicked and evil lives, but certainly for the common good of most people, they are and have been a blessing. Indeed, this was a nation that was founded by men and women who were Christians. Now, that does not mean that all of the founders of America were Christians. Some were not. But even those who were not embraced the Christian world and life view that was almost universally prevalent at that time and acted according to the dictates of the Word of God. The infidel demands that government should be conducted on the principle that Christianity is false. The atheist demands that it should be conducted on the assumption that there is no God, and the positivist on the principle that men are not free agents. The sufficient answer to all this is that it cannot possibly be done. No, this is a nation that was founded by men and women who embrace the Christian principles which made this nation great. In fact, the civil liberty which we enjoy and the blessings of God upon this country have come because of the Christian foundations of our land. And that's why it is so dangerous and so pernicious in our time that there are those who are very busy with their axes and hatchets, chopping that foundation to pieces and trying to destroy it. As early as 1799, Dr. Jedediah Morse pointed out that the blessings of liberty and the happiness of this nation flowed from that Christian foundation. Listen to these signal words. Quote, to the kindly influence of Christianity. This is 1799. We owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys. In proportion as the genuine effects of Christianity are diminished in any nation, either through unbelief or the corruption of its doctrines or the neglect of its institutions, in the same proportion will the people of that nation recede from the blessings of genuine freedom and approximate the miseries of complete despotism. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Only where men and women are first set free internally by the Spirit of Christ will they be able to maintain their freedom and liberty in the world. Have you never noticed that it is only in those countries today where the gospel of Christ has gone, where the evangelical spirit has come, where the gospel has set men free, that the powers of totalitarianism have been restrained and men still maintain their liberties? But you destroy that gospel and those Christian and religious foundations which make men free. And the inevitable result is that this nation, like so many others, will slip beneath the floodwaters of tyranny and cruel despotism. That inevitably has been the result. But when the God of a nation is the Lord Jehovah, then through his providence, people may know the blessings of liberty. It is interesting that not only did the founders of this country believe in God, but they believed in the providence of God. Over and over again, we find references to the fact of the providence of God. When the pilgrims first landed at Cape Cod, they discovered that they were a long way from the northern parts of Virginia to whence they had set sail. And so they gave instructions to the captain to weigh anchor and to sail south for Virginia. You know something? They couldn't do it. Such countercurrents arose. Such swellings in the ocean came up. Such storms greeted them that they were forced back to Cape Cod. Accident, coincidence, or providence? It turned out that at Cape Cod, there was the fiercest tribe of Indians to be found anywhere along the coast. The Pawtuxet Indians. However, in 1617, 3 years before the pilgrims arrived, a plague destroyed every one of them. It was probably, historians say, the only place on the coast where they would not have been met by hostile Indians. An act of providence. I say that every Pawtuxet was destroyed. Well, that's not totally accurate. One remained. He remained because he was in England when the plague came. He had been taken to England in 1605 and then returned at last to his people. His name was Squanto. You remember Squanto came into the midst of the pilgrims, speaking good King's English and acted as their interpreter. He was converted by them to Christianity, part of the fulfillment of that covenant of extending the gospel. And it was through his efforts that a peace treaty was signed with other surrounding Indians, which lasted for 50 years. Quite contrary to many of the stories that you hear about the pilgrims falling on their knees and then falling on the Indians. That was not the case at all. A special instrument from God in the providence of God. The providence of God was seen over and over again. Washington alluded to it so many times. You remember that in the very first year of the Revolutionary War, America almost lost the war. We came within a hair's breadth of losing our liberty and our freedom and our independence in the very first year. In 1776, Washington's entire army was bottled up in the heights of Brooklyn. The British forces under General Howe made a semicircle around the entire forces. The British fleet was anchored right offshore. There was no way of escape. And they were waiting to close in on them the next day and to end the American rebellion. But that night, Washington determined that he would endeavor to escape, realizing the helplessness of his position. And he gathered every rowboat and sloop of any sort that he could and decided to set out to sea and to escape. Counselors said it would be impossible in the moonlight. They would be clearly seen from the ships and they would be destroyed easily. But Washington determined to go ahead anyway. And just as they started to put the ships into the water, a strange and unusual fog rose up and completely covered all of the ships. And when General Howe gave the orders in the morning to close in on the trap, to his astonishment, he found that Washington and his entire army had just simply disappeared. Never again did the English have an opportunity to end the war at a stroke. Accident or providence? It was incidents like this that caused the framers of the Declaration of Independence, of course, to say, with firm reliance upon divine providence. And so they set their seal. This was the spirit in which this nation was begun. But as you know, in the last 50 or 75 years in particular, there has been an increase of unbelief. Now, this unbelief has gone by many names, whether it be called simply secularism, or whether it's called humanism, or whether it's called atheism, or whether it's called Marxism, whatever it may be called, it is always the same thing. It is that which is opposed to belief in God and belief in His Son, the Divine Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And these people have been very active, and they have been very diligent, and they have spread their views, and they have moved into positions of significance. They have virtually taken over the bureaucracy of our public school system. They have moved into government and into the media, and they have taken that over. And they are having an enormous influence on the minds of both young and old alike. But I believe that one of the great things that we can do in our time is try to restore America to the spiritual foundations that made it great. My friends, we need to do what these very pilgrims set out to do. We need to re-grasp and rededicate ourselves to that American covenant, that we will believe that we are here on these shores and have been born on these shores or have come into them for the purpose of the glory of God, to glorify God. We have a task set before us today for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can be that missionary right here to America, right here on these shores, to take the gospel to those all about you who know not the Lord. My friends, if we do not do that, and if secularism and godless unbelief take over this country, then the calamities that are going to fall upon this country can already be written down. The loss of our freedoms, to be ground under the heel of tyranny and despotism, to experience the various plagues that come upon the godless, this inevitably is what awaits America. May we pause and remember. Remember from whence we have come. Remember how far we have fallen. And recommit ourselves to the great task which still lies before us. To recommit ourselves to the American covenant. To bring glory to God in every sphere of the life of this country. And to advance the Christian religion in the hearts of men and women everywhere about us. May God grant us that recommitment on this day.
Now it is time for Sister Emily to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go, she was running low on faith and gasoline. It's been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass.
She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. She said, take the wheel, take it from my hands, cause I can't do this on my own. I'm a let go. Give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel.
The name of each saloon is a bar, the fittest of its names by far. A bar to heaven, a door to hell. Whoever named it well. A bar to manliness and wealth, a door to want and broken health. A bar to honor, pride and fame, a door to grief and sin and shame. A bar to hope, a bar to prayer, a door to darkness and despair. A bar to honor useful life, a door to brawling, senseless strife. A bar to all that's true and brave, a door to every drunkard's grave. A bar to joys that home imparts, a door to tears and aching hearts. A bar to heaven, a door to hell. Whoever named it well.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
I believe the song and message between that song and poem was saying, if you're going to go out and get loaded off your fanny and you can't see straight, you need to hang on to God.
Well, are you sure 100% about that answer?
Well, not really so. Actually, I think that was actually saying, if you're going to go out and get loaded off your can, you need to let God take the wheel before you try taking it and end up behind a pretty set of bars.
So would you say the second answer is definitely your answer?
Yipper.
Well, still stomping on that gas, got your foot in the carburetor, do you? Well, we were 15 for 18, now we're 16 for 19, and that last set, even though the first answer was still correct in its own way, the second answer actually clarified it. If you're going to go to the bar, you better let Jesus take the wheel. Definitely, that was definitely the answer we were looking for. So you definitely got that correct. You are now 16 for 19. Amen.
Well. I guess I'm flooring it right past Ruthie, on past six, and then I'm going to end up nipping Dad in the heels or in his can. And I'll be saving Boss Man some money on the buzzer.
For sure, for sure. You're definitely coming up on Ruth real fast here. So we'll just keep seeing how you do, and we'll continue with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Seven miles are open, and the seven. the whole armor of God. Of the thousands of letters coming every month to the office of the ministry, 35 to 50% of them reveal that the average Christian is having a difficult and troublesome time in his or her daily life. They actually wept tears of concern over problems which friends all over the world and Canada have shared with us in the Holiness Bibles for the Blind Ministry. Truly, the world in which we now live is an aggravated, sad condition, a tremendous storm of flagrant wickedness coupled with Satan's ingenuity is lashing at the front doorstep of every true, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. And unless each one of us is spiritually prepared and fortified to ward off the dismal oppressions attacking us, we will go down in absolute defeat. As we observe the many faceted conditions now existing in the United States, we see that illegitimacy has increased 300%. Pornography has become a $500 million a year business. Venereal disease has increased almost 75% in 1 year. Our crime bill is now approaching $50 billion a year mark, and crime is increasing four times faster than our population. For every dollar spent on churches and the proclamation of the gospel in our country, $20,000 is spent on crime, and the divorce rate has now exceeded all previous figures. Our nation is more than 12 million alcoholics plus 3.5 million problem drinkers. Taverns and liquor stores outnumber churches by 250,000. Behind this sad, deplorable, disordered condition, we are made to realize that there is a powerful, highly systemized, and determined foe who, if allowed to continually attack the Christian man or woman unhampered, could be the means of eliminating every ounce of faith and testimony which God has placed in the believer in the light of what you have just read. There's one verse of Scripture which has always sent shivers of fear up and down my spine, and it's found in the New Testament. Please read this verse very carefully with me. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh out seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. This alarming verse of Scripture will tell us in an easy-to-understand manner the true child of God has a stubborn, fanatical adversary, one who has determined to annihilate every true believer, and that adversary is the devil himself. Friend, there's no greater force or power other than God in all the world than the devil. He's going about all the time carefully scrutinizing God's people in a continual endeavor to cause us to become enticed through the lusts of our flesh and become involved in damning sins. Therefore, I want to say to you, my dear listener, especially those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior within the past 30 days, the Christian life is no easy affair. It's never been easy to live the victorious Christian life. It's very difficult. In fact, as a new convert to Christ, you are going to have more trouble living the Christian life than you ever had living for the devil. My reason for saying so is because, first of all, you have been put into a new environment with new ways of thinking and new ways of doing things. As an unsaved person, when someone hurt you, immediately the blood flew to your knuckles, you rolled up your sleeves, and you were ready to fight back. You can't do that as a Christian and give a good testimony for your faith in Christ. You don't fight back as a child of God. As a non-Christian, when someone hits you, immediately you were ready to hit back, but you didn't hit back as a Christian. The Bible says to you as a Christian, if someone smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Luke 6:29, KJV. As a Christian, you love your enemies under all circumstances. Since you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, life has been different. As a Christian, you're living life in reverse, as it were. Even the Son of God, when he hung on the cross with four major wounds in his body, his blood and physical life slowly ebbing away, and could have called 10,000 angels, and that would have come and set him free, but amidst all the potential power available to him at this command, he said in that historic momentous hour, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:24. We live in a spiritual world. Don't think for one moment that This is just a physical world. It's also a spiritual world, and we're up against tremendous spiritual antagonism and reckless odds. The combined intensified forces of hell are resolved against every child of God. That's why the Bible says the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8, KJV. That's why it's absolutely necessary and so vital for every true child of God and to keep himself constantly fortified with spiritual strength. To help him to keep himself constantly fortified, the Bible outlines a marvelous plan whereby he can successfully oppose the attacks of the devil in a simple yet straight-from-the-shoulder manner. The Bible sets forth a workable principle for defeating Satan, which everyone can put into operation in the morning, and as soon as he opens his eyes, can be absolutely live a successful life for Christ. Let us read a verse's scripture very carefully. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or trickery of the devil. Ephesians 6:11, King James Version. You see, my dear friend, we're engaged in a great war. God's arch enemy Satan has decreed in his evil heart, and he will annihilate every child of God because he has the complete rulership of this world as his ultimate goal. Therefore, as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ in this wicked, sinful world, we are up against tremendous antagonism. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. You see there in this verse of scripture that there's a great spiritual battle going on in the world. It could put on spiritual eyeglasses and see the spiritual world around us with its spiritual inhabitants. We would all be frightened to death. Tremendous spiritual beings are around us at the very moment. And the forces of hell are standing by, surging like an angry mob, trying to get at every one of God's children. But thank God we have all the embracing power of God to stay the hand of Satan, to protect every one of us, providing we put on the whole armor of God. You ask the question, Sister Ruth, how are we as individuals going to be able to resist the powerful workings control vast empires? Satan, who has altered the course of world history in centuries past. It's very easy, my dear friend. Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Then is only one way Christian men and women and young people can successfully resist the numerous attacks of Satan, and that is by doing exactly what the Scripture tells them to do. Scripture, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, as having done all to stand. Ephesians 6:13. As you observe, the various pieces of armor which God has prepared for each Christian to put on daily, you'll note the first piece is plainly set forth in this manner. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, Ephesians 6:20. This verse of scripture outlining the first piece of armor emphatically declares unto us that we are to tell the truth all the time, regardless of the circumstances. There have no doubt, those of you who will say, Ruth, as a Christian woman, must tell the truth all the time. Sure, because if I did that with every transaction, it would bring conflicting implications concerning our ministry, and I would do only about half the work that I'm now doing. Allow me to say to any Christian person who might think that way, I would much rather have conflicting implications by telling the truth and gain the favor of God than to tell a deliberate lie and receive the indignant condemnation of God upon us. As Christians, we are to always tell the truth because the truth will set us free, and the truth will have the same effect in our hearts as having our loins girded about with a wide belt or garment for that purpose. You know how good and how secure you feel when you put only on a garment to support your back. Well, you feel the same way when you tell the truth. When you tell the truth under all circumstances, you can look at a person right in the eye without flinching or turning aside. When you tell the truth, you don't have to anything to worry about because you don't have to remember your story. Since you have the one story to tell, that's why I would never make a good liar because I don't have a good memory. A liar has to remember how he told the story the previous time and who he told it to. Therefore, if you're going to put on the whole armor of God, you need to have your loins girt about with the truth. That is the number one piece of armor. Let's look at number two piece of armor, and it's designated here in the same verse. It contains the first piece. Let us read further. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6:14, KJV, this portion of this verse tells us that we are to always do the right thing rather than the whole wrong thing. Some of you may say, well, I was in rather an embarrassing situation the other day, and I'd done the right thing. I would have been considered an old fogey. I understand, friend, what you're up against, because we live in a modern society where the philosophy of everybody's going to do it, so why shouldn't I, seem to be the rule to follow today. However, let me say that most emphatically, with Christian's love in my heart, I would rather be considered an old fogey and do the right thing, thus pleasing God, than do the wrong thing and have a poor testimony for my Lord Jesus Christ, who bled and died on the cross of Calvary. You may counter by saying, well, if I hadn't gone with the crowd, I would have lost them as my friends. If you lose friends by doing the right thing and glorifying God, they couldn't have been very good friends. If telling the truth and being upright and moral in your life causes some of your friendly acquaintances to drift away and turn their backs upon you, you have 100 times better off without them, and you should have gotten rid of them a long time ago. That's why the Bible says we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We are to do the right thing rather than the wrong thing. Can't you see a family after the evening meal having an argument as to whether they should go to the latest movie or go to prayer meeting? They realize that a certain picture is being shown tonight for the first time, and they are arguing as to which place they should go, to the theater or the church. We may, many Christians, forget those places when they should be in that house of God. We're told in Scripture that we should have on the breastplate of righteousness. We should go to prayer meeting because there we will receive spiritual help to undergird us for the battle that lies ahead. And God and his house should have placed place in our hearts and lives. So we see that the second piece of God's armor is to have a breastplate of righteousness. We live in a spiritual world, and we are constantly having buffeted by tremendous spiritual antagonism. Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of this world, and this present world system has been placed under his control. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Furthermore, Satan is also the accuser of the brethren day and night before God. This is confirmed in the book of Revelation. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuse them before our God day and night, Revelation 12:10, KJV. Therefore, the Christian today is faced with a tremendous odds of satanic persecution, enticement, and wicked entanglements. Very difficult to live a successful Christian life in this wicked and perverse world because God is clever, or Satan is clever. Let's face it, he is able to come to you as an angel of life, and it is a spiritual weakness in your life, you would be deceived. Scripture, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. God tells every one of his children to put on the whole armor of God so they will be spiritually and morally protected against the evil enticements of the devil. We have also seen the first piece of the armor we are to put on is to have our loins girt about with the truth. This means we are to always tell the truth. The second piece is to have on a breastplate of righteousness. That means that we are to always do the right thing rather than the wrong thing. The third piece of armor is explained in the following verse, Scripture. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6:15 and King James Version. In other words, everywhere we go, we are to go in peace. We are to go with God's blessings upon us. Isn't it marvelous how some people can go into a violent storm and immediately they're able to bring peace into that disturbed situation? The truth of Scripture is my basis for believing that it's absolutely wrong for ministers of the gospel to go out in public demonstrations, creating an atmosphere for murder, violence, and civic understanding. The Bible tells us that we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are not to do anything that would bring a spirit of disunity or give ground for Satan to create an air of violence. Down through the years of Kenny's and my ministry, I've met different people, and there have been those, especially in churches where I've served as a piano player or a music minister of music, who were noted the ability to create a state of general confusion and unrest. Even though they were professing Christians, they failed to put on the third piece of armor, having their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They came barefooted, so to speak, dashing upon the scene with an air of antagonism, violence. I never could get some people to put on the shoes of peace. Fourth piece of armor which God wants us to put on in order that we might successfully withstand Satan is the shield of faith. It's described this way: taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked Satan. Ephesians 6:16 KJV. The shield of faith enables a Christian man or woman to quench the fiery darts of Satan. If you have on the shield of faith, when those fiery darts or evil suggestions from Satan come into your mind, they automatically hit the shield and bounce off. I'll never forget one time in a service when I was doing a music praise and worship service in a church in the Ishtabula area. And there are times in the sweetest moment of your day, possibly when you're down on your knees in your bedroom or favorite place of prayer, having read portions of God's word, and you're kneeling in deep, meditating prayer with God. The whole room is permeated with the presence of God, and you feel as though you could just reach out and take hold of him from your physical hands. That very moment, evil, suggestive thoughts come into your mind. Some of you may never have had such an experience, but I have. It isn't sin for those thoughts to come into your mind, but it's sin if you allow them to stay there. It is sin if you nurture and feed them, letting them grow and become diabolical monsters in your spiritual life. You can't keep the birds from flying over you up in the sky, but you can surely stop them from resting in your head, building a nest in your hair, laying eggs, and raising a family. Evil thoughts do come into the mind of the Christian, but one of the very best ways I know of to get rid of them is they tempt you is to get your Bible and start reading and praying, telling God, you know I'm not that kind of person, oh God, please help me to get these evil thoughts out of my mind. When you take that attitude, you will feel the strengthening effect of the Holy Spirit like a warm wave of heart of heat penetrating your body, and you'll feel his comfort and his solace come over you. You'll be able to say, Lord, what an experience. Thank you, God, for delivering me. That, my friend, is putting on the shield of faith. Those evil thoughts will not stay in the mind of the truly born-again believer if he has the shield of faith, because the Bible says it's through the shield of faith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts or suggestions of the wicked Satan. Ephesians 6:16 KJV. So far, we have seen four pieces of the armor of God. Their loins girt about the truth. That's the first one. Second, have on the breastplate of righteousness. Three, have your feet shod, preparation of the gospel of peace. And four, take the shield of faith. The fifth piece of armor, which is more important, is the helmet of salvation, explained in this way. And take the helmet of salvation. That's Ephesians 6:17 KJV. A great number of people who ask questions on spiritual matters want to know how a person can tell if he's really saved. One way by which I've always been able to know that I'm saved and have on the helmet of our salvation is that I've complied with the Word of God and done exactly what it told me to do. When thoughts of doubt might have come into my mind, a choice verse of comfort has been in the book of John. Here's the verse. He that believeth on him, Christ, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's John 3:18 KJV. If Satan can get you to doubt your salvation, then you'll never be any service to God, so or Satan either, for that matter. In other words, you'll become a spiritual has-been, a dropout of the kingdom of God. So God says if you are to be successful in living the Christian life, you must put on the helmet of salvation and absolutely refuse to let any thoughts of doubt concerning your deliverance from sin enter your mind. Okay, if you have never put on the whole armor of God, especially the helmet of salvation, I would encourage you to put it on right now. I don't care if you're sitting in your office or home or in a comfortable chair or lying in a bed in a hospital or rest home. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners from a devil's hell, and if you will put your trust in him, he will save you from your past, present, and future sins, writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you do that this very moment, you could put on the helmet of salvation, and never again will those thoughts of doubt as your salvation need to come into your mind. Why don't you try it right now? The sixth piece of the whole armor of God, which he wants every one of his children to put on, is the sword of the Spirit. This is outlined in Ephesians 6:17, where we read, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, when you put on this piece, you will have all six pieces of God's armor. When Satan comes to attack you, all you have to do is stand firm and defy him." That's why the Bible says, having done all to stand. Satan will no doubt make big, loud boasts, but you must stand firm in the promises of God, spiritually outwitted or outfitted with all six pieces of God's armor. And when Satan says he's going to blow your little house down, just keep defying him. You have God's armor on. Do you know when some weak Christians make their fatal mistakes? They turn their backs to Satan in an effort to run away from him. They expose the part of their bodies which is not covered with a single piece of the armor of God the moment they do so. There's no armor for the back. The armor covers only the front of the body. God has planned that we keep going forward all the time. There's no provision for retreat in the army of God. Every piece of God's armor is made for the front of the body, so as an individual you can keep going forward at all times, looking squarely at Satan. When he opposes you, just stand still and resist him. And the Bible says the power of God and the Holy Spirit will undergird you in that particular moment of trial with this resolve. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's James 4:7. Am I afraid of Satan? I'm not. I'm like the little boy who ran home from school one day. The bully of the local school had chased him, and the little boy was out of breath because he was running as fast as he could. Just as he dashed up the sidewalk and turned into the front yard of his home, he yelled with all his might for his mother, "Mama, help me." His mother heard him and ran out to the front porch. He ran up the steps into his mother's arms, grabbing himself in her apron. Then he looked back at the big bully and said, "Boo, you big bully." He made fun of the bully because he was safe with his mother in the front porch of his home. I expose and ridicule Satan. Oftentimes I say to him, "Boo, you big bully." I'm sure, my friends, when I do that, I have on the whole armor of God because Satan is powerful and the Bible says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I invite you to make sure you have on the whole armor of God before you allow yourself to become exposed in any manner to Satan or his devilish workings. Through the miracle of the new birth, God has saved us from our sins and recorded our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, appointing us ambassadors for him in his wicked world. And God realizes we are up against tremendous odds because of the opposition of Satan, as he has prepared six pieces of armor or battle clothing for the Christian. And when all of the armor is put on, that Christian can successfully fight the spiritual war now raging between the forces of righteousness and the forces of sin. First piece of armor is to have the loins girt about with truth. In other words, every Christian, regardless of his circumstances or environment, should tell the truth at all times. There's no exceptions. In so doing, God will be glorified, and the child of God will have an inner peace and strength, which can only come through the telling of the truth. Second piece of God's armor is the breastplate of righteousness. We put on this piece of armor, it means that we're always to do the right rather than the wrong thing. And in this case, there are no exceptions at either, whatever the right thing is, even though it requires tremendous sacrifice on your part. Scripture says we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, we have to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We should take peace wherever we go, at all times and under all conditions. Under no circumstances are we to be responsible for violence, bloodshed, or political or civil upheaval. Anyone who takes part in anything of this nature surely doesn't have their feet shod with the preparation of a gospel of peace. Another thing, if you happen to have a party phone line on your home and your neighbor's phone rings, you are not to quietly lift up the receiver, get in on the information, and rush out to tell someone a red-hot secret you just heard. If you're guilty of doing this, your feet are not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're destroying forever your opportunities for winning the involved parties for Christ if they have not been born again. Fourth piece of godly armor is the shield of faith. Regarding this piece of armor, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." 1 John 5:4. A little boy was standing in an old-fashioned county or country store by the candy counter. The storekeeper had watched him for some time, and finally the clerk came down the aisle and said to him, "Trying to steal some of the candy, huh?" To this question, the little boy answered, "Oh, no, I'm not trying to steal it. When we have on the shield of faith, we'll be able to defeat and absolutely rid from our hearts and minds any suggestive thoughts we might have to do the wrong thing." That's why the Bible says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Ephesians 6:16. The fifth piece of the heavenly armor is the helmet of salvation. Once a person has made up his mind and has complied with the requirements of a holy God for an unworthy sinner, confessing himself a sinner before God, repenting of his sins, and accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, from that moment on, he will have had on the helmet of salvation, and he can become a profitable servant for God. By having on the helmet of salvation, he can stop Satan from putting seeds of doubt in his heart and mind relative to his eternal welfare. This gives a person soundness of mind and leaves them time to devote to the cause of Christ. The sixth piece of the armor of God is the sword and the spirit, the word of God. With all the pieces of armor on and using the sword of the spirit, the word of God, we can stand fast opposing the satanic enemy. As we resist the devil, we have the undeniable promise of God that Satan will flee from you. Now the big question comes, how do I put on God's armor? The way to put on the armor of God is through the reading of God's word every morning before going out into the world. Take your Bible, read it for a few 15 minutes or until God gives you a specific message from his word, then commit yourself to him in prayer. This enables you to put on the armor of God for that day. Some say, "Well, Sister Ruth, I just couldn't possibly read the Bible each morning because I really get to work the way it is." I challenge you to set your alarm clock so you awaken at least 30 minutes earlier than you have been for the past 30 days. Begin reading the Word of God for at least 15 minutes each morning, and then bow your head in holy supplication to God, thanking him for the message in this holy word which you have read, praying to the God of heaven above, committing yourself, your family, and your way of life to him. Then go out into the world to fight the battle of bread, and you will see how successful you really can be as you have on the whole armor of God. I challenge you to do that in for 30 days. In so doing, you will equip yourself with God's armor to such an extent that the satanic attacks which you have been undergoing will practically all disappear, and you will be able to devote yourself wholeheartedly and completely to your work, and you have a life to live a life of righteousness before your fellow man. Try it, my dear friend, for 30 days and let me know the blessings you're experiencing in Christ because you have on the whole armor of God. Next lesson will be the Great Commission.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2 so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order
explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
All right, Ruth, and as we pull into the station with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, who do we got on board?
Well, we always got God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you and me tonight.
All right, why don't you give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here. But I do want to remind everybody to join us for the programming tomorrow, first of all, for Station 2 at 1 p.m. You call 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340 for the Jumbo Braille program at 1 p.m. Eastern. We will be interviewing Ian Nash, at 1 p.m. And then on this station, Station 1, you call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. And that's at, of course, 9 p.m. We have The Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick. He will be in the house with us again with another great message. And then on Friday, coming up, we have at, of course, 6 p.m., we have, 6 p.m., we have on Station 2 right here, 515-605-9340, you'll get to hear Brother Six Eyes and My Daddy's Records, 6 p.m. Eastern, and then, of course, Station 1. Once again, right here, 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. And you'll be able to hear AJ and the squad, 9 p.m. Eastern. All right. So, Sister Ruth, give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here.
All right, Lord, we thank you for the program today and hope everybody had a good time. Be with all the prayer requests. I'm a little sleepy tonight, so I will leave that and let you. You know everything, so I'll just let you handle it. I'm just going to sit back and praise your name for all that happened. And I hope everybody had fun. So we just love you and praise your name. Bye-bye.